Hello, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. Election Day is just, it's less than 3 weeks away. It is 19 days away. I got a week and then a week and then bingo, there it is. And like all Obama supporters, I'm still a little nervous. I mean, you heard me all optimistic a couple days ago, but now I see the polls are tightening ever so slightly. To be fair, it's really no cause for concern. I mean, he's gone from being up, about 8 points to being up about 6 points. Well, that makes me nervous, right? I mean, if he loses 2 points every few days, we're in big trouble. I don't think so. I think it's just a little bit of sand in the system, if you will. The polls are going to go up and down. But it's enough to remind me and you and everybody not to be complacent, to keep up the effort. And by all objective accounts, we're doing very well. The early voting states have shown massive numbers out for Obama, and that's good. Even in states like Georgia, which, if we win Georgia, this is such a friggin' landslide that, we might as well just get drunk. But the polls are tightening, and I think you should know that. I gotta be fair. Just as I celebrate when he's ahead, I've got to remark when he's not as far ahead as before. Now, to be clear, a 5-point win, which is really about the lowest you can say safely that he has right now, ahead by 5 points, is more than enough to win convincingly. Not just to win, but to win convincingly. If it gets closer to 3 or 2, then we're talking about, much closer. So all's good, but, just it's enough to be careful, to go out this weekend, to become a neighborhood team leader, to go out and canvass, and not just for Barack Obama, but for your local congressional candidate, for your local senatorial candidate. This election, if you do your part, and I do my part, will be one of those change elections that will be remarked upon in history. I mean, in 1960, you had the oldest, I believe one of the oldest presidents ever in office, Eisenhower at the time, giving it to one of the youngest, John Kennedy, the youngest man ever elected president. You can go back to Herbert Hoover to Franklin Roosevelt for another example of a change election, a huge change. That was a sea change. It takes a huge economic upheaval for that to happen, and we're kind of in one right now. So the polls are tightening a bit. Let that be an incentive. If you haven't done it, go out. Call your local Obama office, particularly if you live in a swing state. And that includes a lot of states in the United States, states you may not think of as swing states. States that are getting very close, like Indiana or West Virginia or even Montana or North Dakota. Even, and I know I've got some listeners in Nebraska, there are congressional districts of Nebraska that can give Obama one electoral vote. Let's get every last one we can, not to mention, of course, the traditional swing states, Florida and Colorado and Missouri, North Carolina, Virginia, my home state, doing very well, and I'm working pretty hard out here. Ohio, of course. And you might as well protect the old blues, Minnesota and Pennsylvania. Make sure that they're going our way. Please do your part. And you know what? If you do your part, I think you'll be glad you did. Even if Obama wins in a landslide, which is what I want to see, I think you'll be glad you did. Wouldn't you want to say to your kids and your grandkids and future generations that you played a part in changing American history? So if you haven't gone out and volunteered, please, please do so. Plus, it's just joyful to watch the party that has run America into the ground fall apart. I mean, yeah, is it a bit of schadenfreude? Yeah, it certainly is. Schadenfreude is a wonderful word that perhaps only could be said in German. It's a word that means to take pleasure in other people's pain. I wonder why the Germans have a word for that. In any case, there's a bit of schadenfreude in watching the Republican Party fall apart. But you know what? They did a lot of damage. They're doing a lot of damage. It ain't over yet. And so when you see the son of William F. Buckley, Chris Buckley, decide that he's going to vote for Obama, it's a shocker. And what's not a shocker, unfortunately, is that obviously the Republicans got so much at arms that he was fired from his post at the National Review. For those of you that don't know, the National Review is the premier right-wing conservative magazine. It is older than the others, it was done largely because of William F. Buckley, the patron saint of conservatives. They're very intelligent. You got to give him that. Buckley's intelligent. He is witty. He is charming. And he gives perhaps the best case that can be made for conservative principles. He's one of those few intellectual conservatives for which most of the rest of them, that's an oxymoron. His son, writer at the National Review for many years, has come out for Obama and was fired. He's not the only one, Republican, that's running away. Norm Coleman, a senator I particularly dislike, senator from Minnesota, who beat Walter Mondale, who took the seat that was once owned is the wrong word, sat in, controlled by, once occupied, let's say, by Senator Paul Wellstone, one of my real heroes. Perhaps the only senator whose death has brought me to tears. I don't know. We'll see when Ted Kennedy dies, if that happens. True hero for progressive causes and a really, really nice guy. And Norm Coleman came in there and told a bunch of lies and blamed the people at Wellstone's funeral. Do you remember this? God, it seems like ages ago. It was only 6 years ago. 6 years ago. Paul Wellstone running for re-election, cruising to easy victory, gets in a plane crash in a snowstorm, dies. At his funeral, no one should be surprised, a bunch of people stood up for the ideals for which Paul Wellstone believed in. Progressive ideals, things like universal health care, things like giving every American a fair shake, things that, well, are the essence of Paul Wellstone. And Norm Coleman said, "You can't say that at a funeral! How dare you say that at a funeral? How dare you celebrate the ideals of a man who devoted his entire life to those ideals at his funeral? That's just awful. That's political." And apparently enough people believed him, and Norm Coleman is senator from Minnesota. Running against him is Al Franken. As much as I have my differences with Al Franken on his personality, he's good on progressive issues. And he's a smart guy. He is. He's a smart guy. I think he's been dismissed as a comedian. He's running against Norm Coleman. And he's doing well. Not by much. He's been behind the whole race. Now he's about tied. But it got so scary that Norm Coleman decided that he didn't want John McCain appearing on the same stage as he. Said Coleman, "I'm just tired of all this negative campaigning." Negative campaigning. Can anyone doubt that that is the only thing John McCain has left? I'm sure many of you, like I, saw the debate last night. I'm curious to hear your thoughts about it. And it was surreal. Right? Obama talking about things he would do to help the nation. McCain sniping at Obama. Obama rising above the fray and calmly discussing his tax plan, his health care plan. McCain trying to tie every washed up terrorist to him. It utterly failed. And I'm not just the one saying that. We know that from the people who watched the debate. Obama looked big. McCain looked small. And I'm definitely not referring to their heights. When Obama attacked McCain's policies, never the man. Obama wouldn't do that. He hasn't done it. But when he pointed out that John McCain was lying about Obama or saying that, McCain's plan would cause you to be taxed in your health care benefits or whatever, McCain had a facial uproar. He outdid Gore's size by a landslide. In fact, I'm looking forward to Saturday Night Live this Saturday. I think they're going to have a field day with that one. He twitched, his eyes rolled, he looked this way, that way, he grimaced. He acted very much like a six-year-old who is upset because he hasn't had his supper yet. he acted in an immature, juvenile fashion. And that's kind of hard to believe, given that he's 72 years old. And the more mature one on stage was the guy in his 40s. McCain looked awful last night. He looked like the hateful little man that he has become. The sad thing is that John McCain, you know, was not as bad as Bush and Cheney when this race began. Before the race began, you know, he differed with them on things like some tax policy and oil drilling and not torture. Not anymore. Now, John McCain is going to the hard right at a time when America is moving in a more progressive direction. It's like two trains crossing in the night. John McCain has entirely bought the Karl Rove strategy. Run right, further right, further right. And only the people on the far right approve of what he's doing. Choosing Sarah Palin was an intensely, nakedly political act designed to appeal to the far right, to the evangelical nutcases, to those like Sarah Palin that really do believe the earth is 6,000 years old, that every literal word of the Bible is true, including those literal words that contradict other literal words. I never understand how you can think the Bible is literally true and then you deal with the phrases that contradict each other. I guess it's just the way God wants it to be. Sarah Palin, who believes that man and dinosaurs walked around at the same time. Sarah Palin, who apparently accepts blessings to prevent her from getting witches. This woman who has a complete 17th century morality. After all, you know, you burned witches in Salem. Someone should have asked you about that. Do you support the burning of witches? But it appeals to a certain number of Americans. And that's who she appeals to. And the fascinating thing about the evangelicals is that if they have someone who's voting their way, someone who would insist that a 13-year-old girl raped by her father be forced to bear a child likely to be deformed, because let's face it, when you have a son that is both your child and your grandchild, the newborn babe is likely to have defective problems, not to mention not knowing whether to call his father dad or granddad. Palin would insist that 13-year-old girl impregnated by her own father lose the rest of her life. It's not the girl's fault, obviously, that she's raped. But, oh well, circumstances happen. Sorry, you're going to have a child whose father and grandfather are the same person, and you have to do it, and if you don't, we're going to take you to jail. Sorry, 13-year-old, I guess you should have been born child of that rapist. Now you must suffer. God wants it that way. This is the type of people that John McCain is choosing. And the fascinating thing is that if you have a person like Sarah Palin, who believes in the things that the fundamentalists believe in, they don't care that she abuses power. They don't care that she violates ethics laws. They don't care that she lies and lies and lies. I told Congress thanks but no thanks on that bridge to nowhere after I took all the money. Why didn't she? I mean, you know, it was rude. It was rude to tell Congress no thanks when you took all the money, didn't return it, and even built a road. You know about this, the road to nowhere? Even built a road on Gravina Island, which has no bridges, because if she didn't, she'd have to return the money to the American taxpayers, and God knows that would be wrong. Take your pork, spend it, even if it leads on a road to nowhere. Mr. Anti-Spending McCain doesn't seem to care. The fundamentalists don't seem to care. The striking thing about Troopergate, in my view, is how little attention it received because people already saw Palin as a nutcase, as out of the mainstream. What it describes is not just a woman who openly violated the law, in this case, Alaska ethics law, and then lied and said, I didn't violate the law, when the report says she did. The report by the bipartisan legislative group put forward by a Republican-dominated legislature. There were 12 people on the committee. 8 were Republican, 4 were Democrats, and they found 12-0 against her. That's pretty bad. But as Time magazine points out, it's not just that she has zero concern for the law, zero concern for ethics, and that she regularly abused her power. No, no, no. It's more than that. As Time magazine put it, is the Palin administration shockingly amateurish? Yes, it is. Disturbingly so. Not just amateurish, shockingly so, disturbingly so. This is a woman who runs her state much as a Latin American tin pot dictator used to do. Heck, Evita had more class and probably less abuse. She wanted her ex-brother-in-law fired, and she was willing to do anything she could to get rid of it, to get rid of him. And then lie about it. You know, why can't she just say, look, take her, if her case is justified, take it to the American people. Say, look, he was a bad guy. My sister didn't like him. So I fired the guy that refused to fire him. You don't like it? Vote me out of office. That would be honest. That would be impossible. I don't think this woman is capable of being honest. Oh, the Bush Doctrine? No, I know exactly what it is. Why didn't you tell me, Charlie? The Bridge to Nowhere? Oh, I was against it after I was for it, but I don't talk about being for it. And I said, no, thanks, even though I was for it and took all the money, which I'm not giving back. But you should be proud of me for cutting spending that I didn't cut. She's not sophisticated to even say that. Well, you know, she went to 6 different colleges. And Republicans are jumping ship. They say that rats always desert a sinking ship. We have another National Review editor, a woman, I forgot her name, but the one that said that Palin should be jumped from the ticket, who was called everything from a traitor to saying that her mother should have aborted her. Now, we liberals get mad at each other from time to time, too. But I don't hear that kind of language. You should be dead? I don't hear that. Last night at the debate, McCain was defending the people that came to his rallies calling Barack Obama a terrorist, saying, kill him. I'm not going to attack my supporters, John McCain said. It just happens all the time. There's all kinds of things shouted out at rallies. Well, okay. Okay, let's put aside for the moment that I have never heard in the thousands, I'm sure by now, of rallies that Obama has had, a single Obama supporter ever say, kill John McCain, ever call John McCain a terrorist. The worst thing that we call John McCain is Mick Bush. And since he's 90% the same as Bush, McCain shouldn't even consider that an insult. But kill McCain? No. No. Even our most radical never say that. But so put that aside for a moment. Obviously, any supporter can shout out whatever they can. You know, we have the woman who took the microphone from John McCain and said, Barack Obama is an Arab. What we find, though, is that Sarah Palin particularly, but even John McCain, they never shut it down. Till recently, we'll get to that. Their crowd shout, terrorist, kill him. And John McCain just, you know, kind of grimaces and moves right ahead with his speech. Do you remember long before the Democratic nomination was decided, when a woman, this is a year, more than a year ago now, stood up at one of McCain's famed town hall meetings and said about Hillary Clinton, how do we beat the bitch? And John McCain ever so calmly gave his strategy for beating Hillary Clinton. Never once did he say, look, you know, I have my disagreements with Hillary Clinton, but she's a respected senator, and I've worked with her on a number of things, and just because you disagree with someone doesn't mean you should be calling them names. No, none of that. Sarah Palin, when people shout out terrorist and kill him on Obama, just smiled. Finally, it took a woman saying that Barack Obama was an Arab, finally, after getting extreme criticism in the conservative press for these mob rallies that John McCain has had. Finally, only then, when a woman says Barack Obama is an Arab, John McCain responded, no, he's not. He's a decent family man. He's not an Arab. He can't be an Arab. He's a decent family man. Right? I mean, all Arabs are terrorists. Barack Obama's a decent family man, therefore he's not an Arab. I love that, right? At least Obama understands that when you say you're not Muslim, it's not an insult to be one. What are we to make of this campaign? What are we to make of the fact that even well-known conservatives who I dislike and who say things that generally I consider smarmy and dishonest, even they are jumping ship? Did you read Bill Kristol's column in the New York Times? Yes, William Kristol, yes. Mr. Neoconservative, yes. Mr. Bush can do no wrong. He's telling John McCain to quit the negative ads. This is a direct quote from Bill Kristol. What John McCain needs to do is junk the whole thing and start over. Shut down the rapid responses. End the frantic emails. Bench the spending surrogates. Stop putting up new TV and internet ads every minute. In fact, pull down all the ads. They're doing no good anyway. Use that money for televised town halls and half-hour addresses in prime time. And let McCain go back, Bill Kristol writes, to what he's been good in the past, running as a cheerful, open, and accessible candidate. Palin should follow suit. The two of them are attractive and competent politicians. They're happy warriors and good campaigners. Set them free, Bill Kristol writes. Provide total media accessibility on their campaign planes and buses. Kick most of the aides off, send them out to swing states, keep a minimal staff, do press conferences, town halls, Sunday TV shows, talk radio, invite Obama and Biden, and drop the negative ads. Not because they're illegitimate. Bill Kristol thinks they're reasonable. He thinks that the connection with Jeremiah Wright is reasonable. But even Bill Kristol understands that Barack Obama's relationship with a man who did despicable things 40 years ago and has been rehabilitated by all accounts in Chicago ain't what voters care about when they're losing their jobs, when they're losing their homes, when they're afraid that they won't have enough money in the bank, when their 401ks and their retirements are cut in half, when the stock market is gyrating wildly, and when George Bush is promoting socialist proposals to nationalize banks and American industries. At this moment, William Ayers is not the American priority, except on the Fox Propaganda Channel. When even Bill Kristol gets it, you know John McCain's out to lunch. And yet, there goes Palin, Cheney in a dress. I don't obey subpoenas. Subpoenas are for wimps. Court orders, they're for losers. The Constitution, that's for wusses. I'm above the law. I'm a hockey mom. I can shoot wolves out of a plane. You can't stop me. The scary thing about Sarah Palin is that she has the morality of Dick Cheney, but she's not as smart. I mean, you know, I guess I should see that as a good thing. At least Dick Cheney had the decency to hide his malevolence to conceal his evil nature. Palin just said, I don't obey subpoenas. I'm above the law. Go away. Oh, I don't answer questions. Gotcha, media. Thinking you can ask me questions just because I'm running for vice president? Get out of here. Now, we need to know more about Barack Obama. Dan Quayle, at least, when he was caught as a deer in the headlights, do you remember this? 1988. Dan Quayle had been a senator from Indiana for 14 years. Sure, he was dumb. Sure, he was young and inexperienced. Sure, unlike Barack Obama, could hardly complete a sentence, had no idea about world affairs, and he, unlike Barack Obama, was one of those other legacy admissions. God, it seems like every Republican senator is a legacy admission. You know, if you've ever been against affirmative action for rich white people, you should see why, because they all go to the Senate. John McCain, or politics, George W. Bush, and yes, Dan Quayle, D student, got to his where he could because his father was a powerful man. And yeah, he was young and I guess kind of cute. For president or vice presidential candidate, they thought they would win the ladies that way. That's what they thought in 1988. Now they just put together Barracuda Barbie. But Dan Quayle, as idiotic as he was, had the decency to look like a deer caught in the headlights. He had the decency to, when he was asked difficult questions, and he held a press conference the day after he was chosen, he had the decency to look lost. He had the morality to show that he had no idea what he was talking about. Because I have to tell you, having an ignoramus vice president is a bad thing. But there can be worse. Worse than having an ignorant person running the country. It's having an ignorant person who thinks she knows everything. That would be George W. Bush and Sarah Palin. Both are ignorant. Both are ideologues. Both have no idea what they're doing, and both think they're gifts from God and are therefore absolutely right. Both are very dangerous. And what's fascinating is that all the things that we said about Sarah Palin 6 weeks ago when she was chosen, everyone said, you're picking on her. The media's picking on her. Apparently, Americans are learning the truth. I got to give credit to America. I was worried. You know, after 2004, 2000, okay, we voted for Gore. The Supreme Court, five justices decided to overrule the American people. It was a coup d'etat. It was wrong. But just like I don't blame, let's say the people of Iran for their president, Ahmadinejad, and just like I don't blame the people of Russia for Putin, I can't really blame the people of America for George W. Bush. We voted against him. I can blame 48%. But really, I blame the people who put him in power. Thomas and Rehnquist and Scalia and O'Connor and Kennedy. That's all that I could blame for Bush in 2000, but then came 2004. And sure, there were shenanigans in Ohio. And sure, that may have made the difference in the race. But still, a substantial majority, let's face it, majority of Americans decided to keep this lawless, ignorant loser who was ruining our economy and taking us into unnecessary wars. They voted for Bush. And I was in despair about my country. I got to say, I'm feeling better about my country again. As I look at the early voters coming out in so many massive numbers, I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful about my country again in a way that I haven't been in a long time. So it ain't over. The polls are tightening. You need to work. But it's nice to see that finally, when things get bad, when things get awful, and push comes to shove, the American people are getting it. Richard Nixon once said that people respond better to hate and fear than they do to love. That's not what they teach you in Sunday school, but it's the truth. And you can see it at the rallies. This isn't a debate about John McCain. This is a debate about Obama versus Nobama. Right? The Democrats chant in their happy, cheerful rallies, Obama, Obama. The Republicans chant, Nobama, Nobama. That's what it's about. McCain has no positive message. It's pro-Obama or no-Obama. Obama, no-Obama. McCain's irrelevant. Nobody wants him. The only people that are going to vote for him are those that are scared to death about Obama. It's crazy. But it's failing. What a pleasure it is to say that Richard Nixon is wrong. What a joy it was to see Sarah Palin take the puck at the hockey game in Philadelphia and put it down to a chorus of boos. Loudly. Angrily. Has America finally done with negative campaigning? Nah. It's as old as the Jefferson Adams race of 1800. It'll continue. It'll continue. But when we're in times of deep distress, yes, Americans finally do reject negative campaigning. I see I've got some phone calls on the line. Let's see who's first. Kevin's on the line first, but Spike, I want you to hold on for me because I know you're a new caller. Kevin, go ahead.
How about I give the call to Spike and, you know, can always talk another time.
Tell you what, why don't, because since you call a lot, Kevin, I love it when you do, but Spike is a first-time caller.
Why don't you hang up?
Let me go ahead and take Spike, and then you call back after he, okay?
Oh, okay, no problem.
All right, that's fair. Spike, let's go ahead and take you. Spike is a first-time caller from Pennsylvania. Welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Gonzo greetings. Actually, I've called like once or twice before.
All right. Well, Kevin calls a lot, and I love Kevin, and he's a great caller, but I like to give newcomers a chance, or at least people that don't call as often. What's on your mind, Spike?
Oh, man. I'm so embarrassed to be from the United States of America. The more I see videos on YouTube popping up of these people going to see Sarah Palin. That's the worst part, too.
But don't be. She's losing, Spike. We've always had this element in our country. Always. We've had this element in our country. Indeed, it's probably in every country, but certainly it's been in America for more than 200 years. The element's not going away, but it's getting smaller. They're losing. I'm seeing the glass is actually slightly more than half full.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's good they're in the minority, but it's just, it's so embarrassing that people can be just that ignorant in this country. And for that matter,
but they're
too,
taught to
you
be
can tell
ignorant.
They're getting media-fed talking points. It's not like they're going and getting a shortwave radio to hear these talking points. They're putting on cable news. They're putting on the local AM radio. You know, this is through mainstream media they're getting these crazy assumptions from. I mean,
well, it's the Fox propaganda channel. If you want to call that the mainstream media, I guess I'll allow it. I mean, you know,
You know what I mean? The media that basically anybody in America can easily obtain. And
well, that's true.
It's being peddled as real news.
Well, you know, I mean, ever since Rush Limbaugh, and he predates the Fox propaganda channel, the Roger Ailes, former chairman of the Republican Party's network, which people, I think, talk about all too rarely. That's why, by the way, I encourage you, Spike, and every one of my listeners, never say Fox News. You can call it Fox Propaganda Channel. You can call it Fox Prop for short, if you want a short phrase.
Both.
I usually call it Fox Prop, and then a lot of times people ask me, Fox Trot? No, Fox Prop, Fox Propaganda Channel. It is Roger Ailes' network, Rupert Murdoch's network. They have designed it to be pro-Republican, and they've got a bunch of bleating sheep, who, yes, bah, every word that they say. And they're not the only ones, Rush Limbaugh and all of the rest. You know, I mean, it's interesting. On my show, I get liberals who disagree with me, and that's fine. To me, that's part of what being, liberal is all about. We don't have to agree on everything, but it seems that, yes, they believe in rote repetition. Sarah Palin is as the Monty Python guy. What's his name? Michael Cleason, I think is his name. Anyway, he said she's a parrot. She's a parrot. She was taught to say 25 lines. And, you know, yeah, John Cleese. Right. Excuse me. It was John Cleese. Yeah. And he said that Sarah Palin is a parrot. You know, if she's asked about health care, she presses button, you know, jukebox, if you will, C3, and boom, there comes the parrot song about health care. And if the question isn't one of her 25 top lists, she says, well, I'm not just going to answer your question. Bingo, I'm going to play one of my top 25. I mean, the woman, frankly, I think a sixth grader could do a better job because they at least would be admitting that I'm just going to tell you one of the 25 things I know. And yet people follow it.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. And by the way, ABC's pretty bad at it as well. ABC on their radio division heavily influenced, you know, they did the little stunt with their sports division having Rush Limbaugh talking football. Faux news, everyone knows that's a blatant, propaganda machine, but ABC news is kind of more subversive.
Well, no. It's talk radio is what it is. CBS, WNBC, WCBS, all of them. All of them are entirely right wing.
I don't
think of Charlie Gibson that way. I think that you have to separate the TV and the radio aspects. I mean, the TV of ABC, CBS, and NBC is, you know, they try to be fair. Sometimes they air on one side, sometimes they air on the other side. But their talk radio divisions are all right wing.
Yeah.
And it's just based on money. Listen, I've been doing this for 5 years now, and I've been doing it particularly because all of talk radio, 98% of talk radio is right wing. And it's by people. Look, people, a lot of people don't want to think. Let's face it. It takes effort. You know, you read books by George Orwell. You read books about people living in dictatorial countries, and it's a lot easier to go with the flow. If you've read 1984, you know, once Winston loves Big Brother, it's a lot easier. If you live in communist Russia, it's a lot easier to support the Communist Party. The same is true if you live in Saddam Hussein's Iraq or, frankly, for that matter, Nazi Germany. If you simply support the people who tell you how to think, life's a lot easier for you, and a lot of people don't want to go through the effort. They're busy. They're raising their children. They're just trying to survive. It's a lot easier to be told what to think.
Yeah. Oh, well. It's an entire culture that just lives on being entertained instead of informed. And, I mean, a celebrity dancing show or American Idol is probably still going to be a bigger ratings hit than a presidential debate. I mean, this is probably going to be the highest rated one.
But see, this is where I'm starting to see some – look, the presidential debate last night was watched by 62 million Americans. That's one-fifth of the American population. You know, maybe my standards have fallen so low. Maybe that's why I'm actually in a good mood, because I see this country changing. I see it in the young people. I see it in the massive registration for Democrats. I see it in people who've never voted before coming out to vote for the first time. I see it in Republicans, respectable Republicans, and there are some, there's quite a number, deserting their candidate. I mean, last night, which actually I have to admit, even though Obama, I think, killed him. Kills is the wrong word. Won the debate very strongly. McCain had one of his strongest nights. He was much better than he was, for example, in the second debate. Even so, 88% of Democrats thought Obama won, 5% thought he lost. Only 68% of Republicans thought McCain won. And, of course, massive amounts of independents thought Obama won. Even among Republicans, he's losing. This country is waking up. It took a massive economic crisis to do it. But this country is finally starting to realize that Republican policies do not lead to good times.
Yeah, no, they certainly don't. It's more like...
Simply put.
You know, what they say about Che Guevara, you know, that's been more the neoconservative movement in America of late.
I'm just glad it was Bush that nationalized the banks. I'm just glad that Obama didn't have to do it, because then, you know, Obama the socialist would be on every... I mean, what are they going to say now? I love it. Oh, how is Obama a socialist when Bush is nationalizing the banks? Could someone please explain that to me?
Or for that matter, they don't want to nationalize health care, but they'll nationalize the capitalistic system itself.
Well, right. Right, because we all know that if you're greedy and you make a bad business decision that ends up throwing the entire economic system of the United States in turmoil, you should be bought off. But if you have a six-year-old child with leukemia and you can't afford health care, let the kid die. Let the kid die. I mean, it's just, you can make another one. Culture of life only matters for fetuses. Please. Children, get rid of them. We need more fetuses. That's the Republican ideology.
Yeah.
Culture of life. Love those embryos. Those blastocysts got to be protected. Condoms are evil. Every sperm is sacred. Children, they're expendable. Sperm, sacred.
It's hard for me to say something a little too crude.
Well, I know I'm on the border myself, but you get my point. So, Spike, you're in Pennsylvania. Where in Pennsylvania?
Up in the Mount Pocono area. Paul Kanjorski is our congressman. We're in the 11th.
Oh, he's a good guy. I know who he is. I've met him.
Yeah, and running against Lou Barletta, who's an incredibly racist individual, who, by the way, he's now twice as mayor of Hazleton, led to the bankruptcy of the city of Hazleton.
Are you close to Scranton?
What's that?
Are you close to the infamous city of Scranton, Pennsylvania?
Yeah, that's about 45 minutes north of here.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty close to you. Yeah, I mean, that's the city that, you know, Joe Biden and Hillary Clinton are making famous. Now, let me ask you, because Scranton has been typified in the mainstream media as the classic white working class people. I mean, these are the people that overwhelmingly went for Hillary Clinton and against Barack Obama in the primary. These are Joe Sixpacks, right? These are the people that, whatever. How's Scranton doing? I mean, it seems to me that the white working class that was nervous about Obama, you know, a month ago, is really coming home. Is that fair?
Yeah. For the most part, it looks pretty good. On my blog, I put up a link today to a Survey USA poll that I actually found through or was paid for by the ABC affiliate in Scranton. And it shows, I think, Obama with almost a 13% lead. And that poll also included a others, which meant they actually included, like, Nader and Bob Barr in the poll.
Well, that's good, because I'm worried about them. I'm worried about Ralph Nader. I'm worried about Cynthia McKinney. I'm worried about people who are holier than thou and say, Obama's not perfect, which he isn't, so I'm going to vote for someone that takes a vote from him and lets McCain win because, well, I didn't get everything I wanted. I'm still worried about you Nader folks out there. I'm not giving you a pass. So I'm really glad to hear that he's doing well even with that poll. Very glad.
So I mean, there's like a 4% others. So McCain's just, as a matter of fact, and there's another poll on I had a picture of, and you can clearly see in the past few days the one line for Obama and the one line for McCain. Obama was always ahead, but in the past week, they've dramatically split apart from each other. Obama soaring high and McCain dipping low.
Although, to be fair, Spike, the state polls tend to lag behind the national polls. When the national polls take a dip, the state polls take a dip a week later. So most of this reflects Obama a week ago. And McCain, it is getting closer in the national polls. So I just think it's very important that
I see way more yard signs and bumper stickers, if nothing else, for Obama than for McCain.
Mm-hmm.
I remember it being very split in all the propaganda between yard signs and stickers and such. It's very one-sided in almost everywhere I go in Pennsylvania. Even when I go to real right-wing country, it's like 50-50, which is shocking.
Really?
There.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I think Americans are finally sick of this. They're finally recognizing what's going on. Plus, let's face it, Obama's got a lot more money than John McCain. And isn't that cool? Isn't that cool that ordinary Americans, Obama's average donation is $25. Half of all the people who gave to his campaign gave more than $25, and half gave less. And yet these millions of donors have given Obama far more money than John McCain could eke out at $2,000 a clip from some of the richest people in America. Amazing.
And also, I've noticed it doesn't seem there's as many 527s working for the Republicans on this one as 4 years ago. Club for Growth is almost non-existent in ads here. They're more interested in the congressional races here than presidential. And so I've noticed that, too. The propaganda machine seems to be a little shut down for them right now. It's actually the union PACs that are actually hitting harder in Pennsylvania with anti-McCain ads.
I think the Republicans are ready to lose. I think they're ready to lose. I think they should lose. And what's neat about it is there are many Republicans who are honestly admitting, saying things like, we should lose. We deserve to lose. it actually gives me some hope. It gives me some hope for my fellow citizens, even my fellow Republican citizens.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Well, I think Sarah Palin really put the nail in a lot of coffins.
I agree. I agree. Palin was a base protecting move. He could have moved to the center. He could have picked. You know what? You want to pick a woman? Pick Olympia Snowe, Susan Collins. Olympia Snowe, Republican senator from Maine. I have my disagreements with her, but she's an honorable person. She's a respectable person. She's an intelligent person. She is a moderate Republican. She is someone who, talk about a maverick, someone who has bucked her party and the Democratic Party. Pick Olympia Snowe. We're very well respected.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I have a lot of friends who would vote, I got to say, for a McCain-Snowe ticket.
Even if he would have picked Christy Whitman, it would have been a better choice than Sarah Palin.
Christy Whitman, same thing. Christy Whitman, an intelligent, moderate Republican woman. I mean, this was the Democratic year. This was the year that everyone, he had to reach to the center, and instead he reached to the far right. The irony is that maybe a McCain of 8 years ago would have reached toward the center. But he reached toward the right in a year when people are sick of the Republicans. If he had picked Olympia Snowe or Christine Todd Whitman, he would have made a strong argument. The conservative Republican wing does not control our party. There are moderate Republicans. We believe in fiscal conservatism and all of that. But we don't believe in, you know, God, guns, and gays, in attacking a woman's right to choose. Both Christine Todd Whitman and Olympia Snowe are pro-choice. And John McCain realized he had to choose between the hateful wing of his party and the inclusive wing. And when push came to shove, John McCain chose hate.
And that's why also he didn't pick Lieberman, or his people didn't pick Lieberman. I think
that's right.
His campaign's
that's
run
right.
more by his handlers than him.
I think that's right.
That was who he wanted, and they went with Palin instead, almost the polar opposite on many issues, which I couldn't, 6 months ago, I would have been blown away to think that. You know, I would have thought of him as a moderate compared to someone running with McCain. But,
you know, it's Karl Rove people that are in charge. It's fascinating. I read an article today that got almost no press. It's amazing to me how articles about the Bush administration today are on page 822, and no one notices, even though now it's all coming clear with the Democrats in charge of Congress, all the ways they broke the law. I've been announcing on the Inside Scoop for 5 years now. Now we have the evidence that I had heard about by all my contacts in Congress. And, yes, it turns out that Karl Rove and the president and a number of presidential officials more than 500 times took taxpayer money and used it to campaign. Clear violations of the Hatch Act, an act of 1939 that prevents public officials from using tax dollars to campaign. 500-plus violations, and now the result is, oh, well, Karl Rove, well, he's no longer in the government. We can't punish him. No harm, no. It's the same thing as Palin. Oh, she abused her trust, she abused her power, but hey, there's nothing we can do about it. And they're right. There is nothing we can do. What are we going to do, impeach Bush now? That'd be kind of a silly exercise, and I think it's warranted. You know?
We could certainly bring him up on charges post-office. If,
well, that'd be fun.
Isn't some sort of directive?
I think, actually, after the Democrats
leave.
No, after the Democrats take power, I think, when President Obama's there, then good old Henry Waxman, one of my heroes in Congress, I love Congressman Henry Waxman, should subpoena private citizen George Bush, bring him before the committee, and if he refuses, then just take the sergeant-at-arms and put the bastard in jail where he belongs until he talks.
Well,
you don't need
Biden
impeachment
did,
to do that. You don't
Biden
need impeachment
allude,
to do that.
Biden did allude to that early on when he was picked, when he was speaking at a retirement home in Florida, to a thunderous applause, saying that they would do that certainly if everything's exactly right. This would, they don't want to mess it up and lose it. And
well, you got to win the election first, and I understand that. Got to win the election first, but we're getting there. We're getting there.
Yeah.
I just don't want people to be complacent. The polls show tightening. Every day I go to places like realclearpolitics.com, and, you know, it's funny. He's at 5%, then he's at 6%, then he's at 7%, and I'm cheering, and now he's back down to, 6.5%. I'm worried. I mean, I shouldn't be worried, but as a Democrat, I am used to, having the public support and then seeing a loss. So maybe it's just it's okay. It's okay to be a little nervous. It's okay. It's just as well. I am putting all my effort I can into electing Obama, and I know you, Spike, and others are too. Thanks for your call. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Hey, real quick, can I just plug my blog since I referenced a few things on it real quick there?
You can. And another thing you can do, Spike, is if you go onto my website, radioinsidescoop.com, you can post whatever you want. You can give links to your blog, and you can begin a conversation there on all my shows. And so I would encourage you to do that, even if you don't call in. But go ahead. Give it
all right. It's Spike Rogan, S-P-I-K-E-R-O-G-A-N, at .blogspot.com. I have video from Pennsylvania of the racist going to see Palin, Al Jazeera video of it from Ohio, and also the different polls I was referencing earlier, amongst other things. So, plus there's a whole issue about them moving a poll in place at the last minute around here. That's on my blog as well. So, lots of interesting stuff leading up to the election.
Thanks for the work you're doing, Spike. I appreciate it. Calling in again anytime. I want to invite Kevin to call back in if he wants to, or anybody else at 877-4-HEAD-ON. There's still a little bit of time. 877-443-2366. Have you been following what's going on in Ohio? In Ohio, as in many states, the Republicans are doing their best, as they always do, to prevent people from voting. Obviously, this isn't just something that happened in the 1960s. The Republicans do their best to prevent people from voting. And in Ohio, and in many other states, what they do is they look over the foreclosure notices. Think about how awful this is. And they say, oh, these people are losing their homes. Well, they're probably upset that they're losing their homes. They're probably going to vote for Barack Obama. Let's take them off the voting rolls, too. So they go to John Smith at 100 Main Street, and they recognize that the home is foreclosed at 100 Main Street. And the day after the foreclosure notice, they mail a nice little Republican notice to 100 Main Street. Vote for McCain. And guess what? John Smith had to move. John Smith lost his home. And that notice gets returned to the Republican Party. And then they take that returned notice down to the Registrar of Voters. And say, John Smith doesn't live at 100 Main Street anymore. Don't let him vote. Oh, sure, he's an American citizen. Oh, sure, he's voted 27 times in the past. Oh, no question, he's not a terrorist. He's not an illegal immigrant. But he's going to vote for Obama. He's lost his home. He probably doesn't have time to worry about changing his voter registration because he's worried about having a roof with a place to live. Let's take away his right to vote. That's Republicans, right? Kick a man while he's down. Kick a woman while she's down. Her house has been foreclosed upon. She's out on the street trying to feed her children. And Republicans are concerned that she lose her right to vote. Well, they're doing this right and left and center. They're insisting on having Republican observers in the early polling places so they can intimidate people to keep them from voting. And the Ohio Secretary of State, to her credit, Jennifer Bruner, elected in place of a really awful man, Kenneth Blackwell in Ohio. You may remember him. He's the one that made sure that Democratic voting areas didn't have enough voting machines in 2004. He's probably the single greatest reason why George Bush won re-election. She replaced him. Ohio voters tossed him on his ear. She is doing everything to protect Ohioans' right to vote, but then it goes to the courts. The right-wing courts packed with Bush officials, and lo and behold, they're telling her, sorry, scrub your voter rolls, start over again. She's appealing to the Supreme Court. Kevin is back. We got a few minutes left. Sorry for bumping you, Kevin. I just wanted to give Spike a chance. What you got on your mind?
Yeah, Ohio, of course, now since you brought it up. But
okay.
How do things look in Virginia, though?
They look pretty good.
You lose Ohio because...
They look pretty good. Remember, all we need is Ohio or Virginia or Florida or Colorado, with North Carolina and Missouri being icing, but we don't need either of those. So we need really one of the big four, Ohio or Virginia or Colorado or Florida, and I'm proud to say that my home state, the Inside Scoop's out of Washington, but really I'm just across the river from D.C. My home state is the best voting swing state of all. I've seen a poll that shows him comfortably 6 points up. Now, there were some that showed 10 or 12. I don't believe those polls. Some are down to 4. I think, realistically, Barack Obama is ahead by 6 points in Virginia. And I want to praise my state a little bit. This is a state that, yes, was a red state that voted for every Republican president since Lyndon Johnson in 1964. But this is a state that threw out its Republican governor and has had two Democratic governors for the last 8 years. This is a state that used to have two Republican senators, including macaca man George Allen, and now will have two Democratic senators, including not just Jim Webb, but also former Governor Mark Warner. This is a state, let's not forget, that voted for the first African-American governor since Reconstruction, Doug Wilder. I'm very, very proud of my state, and I'm as confident as I can be that it's going to vote for Barack Obama and give him the election.
Yeah, when I was living in Virginia, I loved it there. You know, it really has, you know, now granted,
it's changed.
Don't go beyond Northern Virginia, because once you start going down 95 a bit, it becomes the good old Virginia that...
Well, that's what Northern Virginia is, one-third of the state. It is we in Northern Virginia that have changed the state and made it a force for good. Listen, we tip the balance. Northern Virginia is growing by leaps and bounds. We have a strong economy, as most Democratic areas do, while red state areas are declining.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a little bit of a battle here. Some call it Nova versus Rova, Northern Virginia versus rest of Virginia. But, no, we're changing the state, no question about it, right here in my area, and I'm very proud of that.
Yeah, I used to live in Reston, as I said, and, you know, my ex-wife and I were happy there. That was probably the happiest point of our marriage, but, you know, and probably had we stayed there, we would still be married. But, you know, regardless of what I say, you know, I just wanted to find out and get the latest in Virginia and see what was...
Yeah, well, no, the thing is, we're doing pretty good here. I got to wrap it up, Kevin, but I got to say, Virginia's doing very well. Things can change. There's still 19 days. Yes, things can radically change. But my guess is, of all the states likely to put Barack Obama over the top right now, Virginia's the most likely. My old friend Colorado's probably second. Florida's a close third. I'm very proud of my fellow American Jews, actually, who've come around very strongly. They were very concerned, and I understand why. They were very concerned about Israel. They were concerned about Barack Obama. They, you know, he's got that middle name Hussein, and there was that huge, nasty email campaign accusing him of being a Muslim. But I'm very proud that those elderly, they tend to be elderly Jews of Florida, have looked at the facts and are coming home to the Democratic Party in record numbers. I'm very proud of that. And they, I think, will push Florida over the top. So even if there's shenanigans in Ohio, between Florida, Virginia, and Colorado, it's going to be hard to lose this election. Again, I don't want to sound too confident, but I think we're doing pretty well.
One thing I must admit, though, and for a Republican, he's somewhat of a decent guy, Charlie Crist, the governor.
Yeah, but I think, you know, the rumors that he's closeted gay, but we'll have to talk about those another time. Thanks for your call, Kevin. I do appreciate it. I've got to wrap up here. Next up, there's going to be a replay of Bob Kincaid's show. He is attending a conference in Virginia. I hope you enjoy that. And I hope you'll comment on my show at radioinsidescoop.com. I got a brand new website. Check it out. We've got some old archive shows. If you've heard some of the Horn shows, if they're reruns and you haven't heard some of mine, check that out. But for now, this is Mark Levine signing off.